If you'd stand for the reading of God's word. Chapter 18 and verse 4. And I'm only going to read two verses now, but keep your Bibles open. We'll be looking at these verses today. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her. Come out of her, my people. Listen, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." Verse 4, the instruction from heaven, the command from heaven was, come out of her, come out of Babylon, come out of the harlot, come out of the world, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. I want to preach this morning from chapter 18. Come out before it comes down. Come out before it comes down. As we read through these scriptures today, I want you to listen to something that reoccurs. You may not catch it at first, but there's a phrase that's either stated in 1 hour or in 1 day. In other words, it's going to come down in 1 hour, 1 day. I want you to watch for that as we move through these scriptures this morning. Father, thank you for the sense of your presence in the house. You know us as individuals, and you know what we individually need to hear this morning, an encouragement and challenge, Lord, and conviction. Lord, use me as your instrument and your vessel. Talk directly to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Come out before it comes down. I don't know if you got it on the news. You know we're living in this environment that we've had a tremendous amount of earthquake, seismic activity in our world in the last few weeks. And when that tremendous quake hit in California, it was felt by over 17 million people. And that quake was related to another one that was later felt over in Montana, Wyoming area, the Yellowstone Park area. And several people noted that right before then they saw animals running, not just bison, but other animals running. You see, in Yellowstone, the crust of the earth is very thin, and there could very likely be a super volcano that explodes. And those are related, of course, to the earthquakes. And many felt like the animals were running in the park to get away from the area of the super volcano. Later, scientists came back and said, no, that's not what was happening. They were running for another reason. But the truth of the matter is, animals do have that instinct. Let me give you three examples. Number one, they have discovered that even earthworms, long before floodwaters hit an area, earthworms sense it and get out of that area. Birds, long before the human can see the storm coming, will find a branch and they'll get in a place to hunker down before the storm even gets here. Most recently in Florida, they had tagged sharks, and long before anybody on shore could see a hurricane coming, the sharks in mass headed out for deep water to weather out the hurricane. And, you know, I got to thinking about the animals and their sense to get out of an area before catastrophe hit. And my thought was, should not every Christian, every believer whose heart is in tune with God, should they not have a sense that judgment is coming to earth and have an urgency in their heart to get out and stay out of this world, which shall certainly be judged? How many believes we should come out before it comes down? Hallelujah. I just briefly got to remind us where we're at in Revelation. We've had seven angels with seven bowls of God's wrath. They are pouring these bowls out in judgment upon earth. We have come to the last bowl. The last half of chapter 16 talked about this bowl of God's wrath being poured out upon the great city Babylon, the city that represents all of the cities of this world, all of the world and its pleasures and its powers and its arrogance and rebellions against God. And this bowl is a judgment against that worldly system. And then we had chapter 17. The message was much the same. It was about this harlot, this city Babylon, judgment again. And now we've come to chapter 18, and still we're talking about Babylon, the harlot, the city, and the judgment that is coming to this world. And you say, Pastor, why have we spent so much time on judgment? But I just related it to you. God spent a lot of time on it. Almost three chapters here in Revelation, God spent time to let us know that Babylon, this world, is going to suffer awful judgment. And so therefore, we're looking at it again this morning. Judgment is coming. Now, let me tell you what I keep hearing, and I'm going to move forward, but I keep hearing as I prepare. I kept hearing John's words in his epistle when he said and admonished us, love not this world, neither the things are in this world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And these are not of the Father, but of the world. And this is what John said. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The lusts are going to pass away. This world is going to be, it's coming down. But when it comes down, we can have already come out. Hallelujah. And so judgment for three chapters. I will tell you this. Chapter 19 is a brighter chapter. We will get to brighter things. But the message this morning, come out before it comes down. I want to make one note about last week. Last week in chapter 17, we've heard that the Antichrist and his coalition government, that beast, carries the harlot, carries the world where the world wants to go at first. And then that beast, having given the harlot what she wants, carries the world to a one world government, a one world economy, a one world religion. But the note I failed to make last week that we've got to get this morning is once the beast had carried the harlot, amen, once that relationship was there and the beast had given the harlot what she wanted to get her where he wanted to get her, the Bible says the beast, the Antichrist, turns on the woman, turns on the harlot, turns on the people of this world. The Antichrist seemingly gives all the world what it wants, but once he becomes the one in power, he turns on her. Here it is, Revelation 17, and 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the harlot and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Here's a picture of it. I mean, it looked like there was a coalition. It looked like the Antichrist was with the world and the world with the Antichrist. But once, listen to me. Once the Antichrist got what he wanted, he turned on the people of the world just like he had already turned on the people of God. I've got to sound it one more time. Satan will always turn on those he has enticed and wooed and tempted. He'll tempt you. He'll woo you. He'll entice you. But once he has you, he will turn on you and destroy you. Even you go the way of the world, you will suffer. You'll suffer the natural consequences of sin. You will suffer the ill treatment of Satan. And you will suffer the judgments of God. Amen. Why could anyone want this world when there is a better way? Hallelujah. When you don't have to go through any of that. Instead of judgment, there's reward. Instead of pain, there's pleasures at the right hand of God. Instead of destruction, there is life eternal. It may not be preached down the street. Amen. But the choice is still this. Would you have death or would you have life? Choose life. Choose life. Come out before it comes down. First of all, in our chapter, there's the pronouncement of the end of this world, the end of the harlot. Verse 1. I want to make this promise. In a moment when I get going, I'm mainly going to read scripture and just offer slight commentary. Verse 1, after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven. This angel has great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. This is one of the highest ranking angels of all heaven. He has great authority, and he has such an effulgence of light. Where did he get that? He's been in the presence of God. And so when he leaves heaven to come to earth, he's still reflecting the glory of God, and he lightens up the dark world. It's become dark because of this Antichrist and this harlot. But this angel, reflecting the glory of God, lights up the darkness of the world's landscape. He comes with the message, verse 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. And has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. I don't know if you caught that. This has not yet happened, even in the angel's time, but he puts it in past tense. He said Babylon has fallen, is fallen. It's past tense. How can he do that when it hasn't happened? You see, when God says something's going to happen, you can use past tense to describe it, because if God said it's going to happen, it's as sure to happen as if it's already in the history books. Babylon is fallen. Wait a minute, angel, it still stands. No, God said it's coming down. So it's already past tense. It's already in the history books. What does he describe here? He describes Babylon, which is this world. He describes it as a ghost town. When I first read this, being from out west, I got the picture in my mind of one of those ghost towns out west. The buildings are falling down. The buildings are empty. There's dust and spider webs everywhere. Even you don't see any people. It's filled with owls and rats and stray dogs and cats. And in the middle of looking at that, you see a lone tumbleweed come blowing down Main Street. I'm talking about a ghost town, but it's more frightening here. Listen, what the angel said, amen, Babylon is not just a ghost town inhabited by wild animals and rats and stray cats, but Babylon is a ghost town inhabited by the very demons that destroyed it. This world will be judged, and this world will become the habitations of demons and devils. I want you to know, demons always inhabit desolate places. Am I reading scripture correctly? Demons always, listen to me, they inhabit desolate place. You let this world make you an empty hole. You let this world jade you, make barren your heart of the things of God. And I'll promise you one thing, demons will inhabit desolate places. I've got to move on, but I also got to tell you, you let God live in you. You let the Holy Spirit live in you. And no demon can inhabit there, because that is a place of life and not death. Babylon has become a ghost town. Amen. 800 years prior to this, Isaiah had told us the same thing. Isaiah 13, listen to the similarity of the prophecy. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen, it shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation, neither shall the Arabian and pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there, but listen, wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. I'll tell you what a satyr is in a minute, but this prophecy of Isaiah has caused some people problems, because God, through Isaiah, said once that great city of Babylon was destroyed, it was would never be rebuilt. It would be never inhabited. Amen. And so they kind of look for a city in Iraq to be built up today on that side. But they forget, once that city of Babylon was destroyed, even the Babylon became Rome. The Babylon became New York City. The Babylon became Las Vegas. The Babylon has become any city that stands for man's sin and iniquity and rebellion against God. And it goes more than that pile of clay bricks left in the ruins of the ancient Babylon. Amen. God is prophesying a time when this world, amen, shall become destroyed and desolate, far worse than any science fiction movie can portray. This earth is going to be destroyed. And as the smoke rises up on every corner and every dark place, there will be demons and devils. By the way, what is a satyr that shall dance there? A satyr is a demon that looks like a goat. Isaiah saw it. The angel from heaven declares it. I'm telling you, listen to me. We're living in a time they may have not appeared. You may not see them, but I'm telling you, these demons are already here and work in our world. They're in the entertainment. They're in the bar. They're in the places of government. They're everywhere. Even I'm not taking away responsibility for men and women and boys and girls are making decisions, but the influence of demonic power is already here. And when man's institutions crumble, then it will be clear to all the demonic powers that men have listened to and been influenced by and given into temptation. I'm telling you, that's the world we live in. I've talked to different people this week, and I've got to move forward, but I got to preach too. I've talked to different people this week, and they said, you know, this is their observation. If you'd been preaching that 20 years ago, there'd be a mighty move. People seeking God. And I'm not downing or minimizing your response at all. You've been attentive and you've been responsive. But just 20 years ago, people have been so stirred. And several people said, I believe what it is. We've become desensitized by Hollywood. We've had every kind of apocalyptic film and science fiction film showing the destruction of this world. And so when you preach, how can you compete with the techniques, the technology that's on the films? Listen, that may be. People may be desensitized by Hollywood, but I'm telling you this morning, when I'm preaching to you, it's not Hollywood, it's divine revelation. Hallelujah, it's the unveiling of Jesus Christ. It's what he wants us to know. And I have enough faith to believe if we will stand and listen and preach the truth, the Holy Ghost will get involved in that. He'll stir up our hearts. He'll take off the callous and we'll get the listen, young people, the enemy is really there to suck you into this world. He knows this world's coming down and he wants you in it when it comes down. But the call of God is come out before it comes down. Hallelujah. Verse 3. For all nations have drunk wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacy. The judgment of the world will affect everyone that is a part of this world, either through pleasures or philosophies or economics or power politics. If you're a part of this world in those ways, you'll suffer the judgment of Babylon, the harlot. I've said it over and over, but this harlot, this Babylon, is a city that stands for the worldly system of man. And yet, if you would think of it specifically, how could you escape this description as being one of America and its chief cities like New York City? Nations have drunk the wine of her fornication. We've imported Hollywood all over this world and the Hollywood mentality. Amen. Merchants have waxed rich upon her abundance. I know that we have exploited other nations, but other nations are rich on America. The great amount of imports America buys, including oil, has made the nations rich, and the financial capital is of New York City. It's coming down. That's a pronouncement. Then secondly, the call to come out of this world. This is the whole message. The call to come out of this world before it comes down. Come out of the harlot. Verse 4. I've already read it twice. The call was come out of her. Come out of the harlot, my people. Come out of the world. Come out of that city. It's coming down. Come out before it comes down. Now look, I want you to see this on the wall. The angel gives two reasons, or the voice gives two reasons. This could be the very voice of God here in this verse. Two reasons to come out of this world. Number one, that you do not partake of her sins. Could you listen to me for a moment all across the building? Amen. The voice of heaven says, come out of this world, lest you be a partaker of her sins. God knows that if we are in this world, we will end up, maybe not the first week we miss church, maybe not the first time we go to a certain place of sinful amusement, but the enemy knows if he can get us in this world, we will end up partaking of its sins. And God knows that too. And God put out a call and he said, listen, if you claim to know Christ, if you claim to be born again, come out of this world. Or if you don't, if you keep partaking of this world, you will be a partaker of her sins. So reason number one to come out, so you can stay the pure, unspotted bride of Christ. You don't have to give in to the temptation. You don't have to give in to the sin. You don't have to be a partaker. You can come out of that mess. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody help me preach. Number one, come out unless you take of her sins. And secondly, come out that you receive not of her plagues. You see, if we stay in the world and partake of its sins, we will also partake of her judgments. Oh, can you hear as I preach, sir? Can you hear the Spirit of the Lord? Come out, come out, come out. You don't need that world in all its filth, all its ways, all its fashions, all its trends, all its amusement. Amen. If you stay in there, you'll partake of it right along with the one that's never been in church, never known God. But if you partake of it, you will also experience its judgments. Come out. Come out of it. God has always, read the book, God has always called his people to come out before he sent judgment. How many knows that? Amen. God called Abraham out of Ur. God called Lot out of Sodom before he judged it. God called Israel out of Egypt. God called Judah out of Babylonian, the Persian captivity. And by the way, I want to remind you that the very word church means the called out ones. Hallelujah. Some say that just means called out so you can have an assembly. I don't believe. I believe God knew exactly what it meant. It goes beyond that. The word, the Greek word, ekklesia. Ekklesia means those who have been called out. I'm telling you, if you're a part of the true church of the living God, you've heard the call to come out, and you've come out. If you haven't come out, you're not a part of the true church. How many's glad this morning? You'll profess it. You'll say, I'm one of the called out ones. I've heard the call. I've come out. I've come out. I'm not trying to be mean or harsh, but one of the biggest dangers of today is the churches of America en masse have left the impression that you can be a saved individual and partake of the same sins of this world and be ready when Jesus comes. It's not the truth. It's not the book. Do you hear the call? Come out before it comes down. Verse 5, for her sins have reached into heaven and God remembered her iniquities. The picture is of the offenses of this world against God, and they're piling up. They're piling up till they reach all the way to heaven. There's a message there. I won't have time to preach it, but using that picture, every time this world sins, they're building a tower of sin like the Tower of Babel. But I want to tell you, that tower of sin, Brother Brock, has risen, has been built so high, God cannot ignore it any longer. just like he let them build that Tower of Babel to a certain stage. Even the sins of the world are piling up, and it's so high, God can no longer ignore. God's merciful. He's not willing that any should perish. He waits until iniquity is full, but that pile of sins is so high, it must be judged. Let's move on. There is then the command to let this world have it. Let the world have it with judgment. Verse 6. Listen, this is important. Reward her even as she rewarded you, double unto her double. That's really hard to understand. Double unto her double. According to her works in the cup, which she hath filled, fill to her double. I just want to try to make it simple. I don't know if I will. What does it mean? Give her double according to her double. Reward her as she rewarded you. What does that mean? It's talking about proportion. And it's saying, number one, proportionate to the pain she caused God's people, give her the same kind of pain. But it's also saying something else. To the world, it's saying, according to the pleasure she gave you, give her that kind of pain in judgment. Think about it, proportionally. Amen. Give her the kind of judgment that would match her rebellion. Amen. Give her the kind of destruction that would match her arrogance. Listen, the world, you gave the cup to the people, the masses. You mixed pleasure in with the pain. You mixed some joyful things in with the hurt. But when judgment comes, whatever you did to this world, it's going to be double to double, proportionately. It's going to be greater. In other words, you diluted your temptation and the pain that it causes. Listen, woman, harlot, you diluted it with pleasure. But when you get your judgment, there'll be no dilution. It'll be the strong, exact, pure judgments of God. Verse 7, here's one of the reasons how much this harlot Babylon hath glorified herself. She's lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow. Give her according to the way she lived in rebellion. Why? She has said in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. We've got to get this, church. America's got to get this. Even though judgment is imminent, this harlot keeps saying, I'm not a widow, I'm a powerful queen, and I'll never see sorrow. Even though judgment is at the door, she claims, this world claims, she will also always prosper and never come to ruin. You say, why do you say you got to get this? Because America is right there. America has an attitude. She is so powerful and so rich, she will never fall. Amen. In fact, we're being lied to daily. We're being told the economy's getting better. How many really believes that? We're told America is still a force to be dealt with. How many really believe? I mean, according to the common trends and fashions. And we're told that America's too powerful, too great. Just like this lady said. She said, I'm no widow, I'm a queen, and I'll never see sorrow. And judgment's right there. I want you to know, I love America. But America is not too powerful or too rich to fall. Can you say amen? There was something. They didn't mean it this way, but it's frightening. How many members in the recent economic bailouts, what we heard as a drumbeat, we got to bail out some of these companies because they're too big to fail. You see, that's the mentality of America. America says, we're too big to fall. We're too big to fail. Well, Egypt said that, and Syria said that, and Babylon said that, and Persia said that, and Greece said that, and Rome said that, and the British Empire. We're too big, we're too rich to fall. That's what this lady, this harlot, saying with judgment at the door. I want to tell you, it may seem impossible that America would ever be poor, a third rated nation, it would ever be dissipated. But I'm telling you, America has sown the seeds of her own deterioration and destruction, and America does not know how close she is to the judgment of Babylon, the harlot. I think it's time we pray. At least government may not wake up, the economists may not wake up, but I believe it's time we pray that the church, the people of God, would awaken. Has to, that it's time that we awake and come out before it comes down. Verse 8, therefore shall her plagues, here it is, come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burnt with fire. For strong is the Lord who judgeth her. Her plagues come in one day. How swift they come. How total. In one day. God has his own judgments. He doesn't need a nuclear bomb. But can you imagine if North Korea just got one nuclear bomb to California? In one day. In one day. It's going to happen because the Lord is strong who judgeth her. When God gets ready to judge, no one and nothing can prevent his judging. There is no Star Wars to stop the judgments of God. And then we move on, and I'm going to do a lot of reading and come to a close, but we get to the crying of the harlot's ruin and destruction. When Babylon is judged, instead of repenting, the people of the world mourn her passing. They mourn. They cry over her passing. I want you to get this. I'm going to read. I'm going to hold the commentary to a moment, just a slight. But first of all, I want you to notice in these, the governments, the politicians mourn the destruction of the world system. Look at verse 9. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, literally in the Greek, alas, the great city, Babylon, the mighty city. For, listen, here it is again, in 1 hour, thy judgment comes. 1 hour. We've lived recently, we've had the big earthquake off Chile. We've had the pro-quakes there in Los Angeles. And again, they're frightful that the whole slice of Western California would fall in the sea. Let me ask you something. It says it comes in 1 hour. How long does an earthquake take? How long does an earthquake take? Oklahoma's been having a lot of tremors, and they're trying to blame it on oil drilling and fracking so they can make us more subservient to imported oil. I want to tell you that I don't care how big that machine is and that auger is that they're digging for oil. That's not going to do nothing to like when God shakes this earth. And Isaiah said she'll reel to and fro like a drunk man. God just has to go. Amen. In 1 hour. And the politicians moan. So not only do the governments and politicians grieve over the destruction of the world, but the business community, those who make their money off the world, they grieve. Look at verse 11. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearl and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and thyine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and manner of vessels of the most precious wood and of brass and of iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots and cars and iPads and computers. And then it said, and slaves and souls of men. You say, oh, Pastor, we don't have slavery anymore. Are you aware of the huge problem our world has right now of sex trafficking? Young ladies from different nations, even our own, putting them in bondage. Literally the souls of men. And the merchant or the merchants, the economic, the investors, they mourn the destruction of the harlot because their source of money is gone. Verse 14, and the fruits, this is important, and the fruits that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more. Everything a person lusts after will be gone. America's a country of lust. We lust after opulence and luxury and all the finest of foods and expensive clothes and all the gadgets and devices. But God has said, in 1 hour, everything you lusted after is going to be gone. There'll be no Best Buy. There'll be no Amazon.com. It'll all be closed down. in the country of the greatest opulence and extravagance and luxury. In 1 hour, it's gone. Listen, can I say it one more time? Please listen to me across the room. One more time. The world passeth away and the lust thereof. Everything men sought in an hour. Oh, doesn't that sound different? Then put your treasures in heaven where rust doesn't corrupt and moths don't corrupt and thieves don't break through and steal. Not only did the politicians, the merchants grieve, but all those who traded and made money, they grieve. Verse 15, the merchants of these sayings which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Here it is again. For in 1 hour, 1 hour, so great riches, it's come to naught. It's gone. What would happen if the stock market, overinflated as it is, would crash tomorrow? 1 hour. Am I telling you the truth? In 1 hour, the devastation, it's gone. Riches are gone in 1 hour. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors, and these are the other nations that trade with America in the illustration, as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning and saying, what city is likened to this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, the great city, not repenting, just mourning that it's over with, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. Here it is. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. How many wants to come out before she comes down? Hallelujah. I tell you what, if you were on a cruise ship and it was sinking and the lifeboats pulled up alongside, you, everything in you would have one intent. I want out of that thing. For it goes down. That's what the way we Christians ought to feel. If we've heard any truth, if you've been raised in church, that's how you ought to feel right now. Amen. It's coming down and I'm getting out. Hallelujah. And then there's an encouragement to rejoice over the harlot's ruin. I want to ask you a question before I read these scriptures. If the pleasures of this world passed away tomorrow, if the great wealth and luxury was gone, would you rejoice or grieve over it? I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about if all the means of entertainment, if all the movies were gone, all the world, would you grieve that it was gone or would you rejoice? Think about it. The commandment here is to rejoice because those things are destroyed. Look at verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you over her. Again, this is not a rejoicing over people's suffering. This is not vengeful, arrogant glee. This is a rejoicing that evil has arisen, but good and righteousness and holiness and light has triumphed and been victorious. God has judged evil and rewarded good. How many is looking for the day when righteousness triumphs? Verse 21, and a mighty angel took up a stone like a millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more. And this angel gives an object lesson. He takes a big millstone and he casts it into the sea. I mean, first of all, notice that he didn't drop it. It didn't just fall on its own. He cast it into the sea. Let me tell you something about the destruction of this world. It won't be just by self-deterioration. God is going to cast this world down like the millstone was. And think of something. When something is cast down, it goes even more quickly than when it is dropped or it falls. And again, in 1 hour, the destruction. And to illustrate that in 1 hour, the angel takes a millstone and he casts it into the sea. But I also believe, though it's not mentioned in Scripture, that something else speaks to us here. And that is the finality. Especially in those days, you drop a millstone into 2 miles of water of the sea and it's irrecoverable. I want to come out before it comes down. Verse 22, and the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeteers shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman or whatsoever crafty shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. We're back to the ghost town. I want you to think of some modern ghost towns. What about the landscape after that tsunami in 2011 that hit Japan? I was in Joplin, Missouri right after the tornado hit. I believe that's the next one there. I know this street. I know what was on it. You can't imagine. How long did it take that tornado to do that? In 1 hour. And here's the thing, as we know of natural catastrophes, and these will be supernatural, but it says here the candle will be put out. I want you to think of New York City with all the lights out. Think of that. Look at verse 23. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. The lights have gone out. You could think specifically of America. You could think even more pointedly perhaps of New York City. The lights are turned out. How many knows what fear and anxiety and despair would be felt when the lights go out? Our secular world has a great concern of terrorist sabotage of our power grids and America going dark. And all of this is in judgment of a world who thumbed their noses up at God and rebelled. I'm not prepared to go into it this morning, but America has mocked God. God says, one man, one woman, one life. God, America has mocked God and said, we'll change the definition of marriage. Over and over, America has defended sins under this guise of tolerance. But God said, her candle is going to be put out. It's going to be dark. Look, I'm going to get way ahead of myself, but I'm going to tell you one thing. Before that happens, before the lights of Los Angeles and Chicago and Miami and Houston and Dallas and New York City go out, I want to be in the city where the Lamb is the light. In the city where there cometh no night. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Sister Rose, we used to sing that and shout the whole time. How many knows the lights are going to be put out? Listen to me. I'm just trying to help you this morning because I believe there's a group of people getting ready to leave. And I believe the admonition has come out, for it comes down. In 1 hour, verse 24, and her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all that were slain upon her. It's going to get bad. If you really believe in God, it's going to get bad. There's going to be saints that are murdered and killed and martyred. And the judgment comes. And because of the world's response to all that is holy and righteous. Would you come, music? There it is. There's chapter 18. And what I feel from it is still this from the very beginning. Come out before it comes down. I want you to think. Please think with me. I promise you, I'm really about done. Just really think with me. Think with me. On the glorious side of this. On the glorious side, Sister Norvell. On the glorious side. Just seconds before Jesus comes and judgment hits. Just seconds. There's going to be some unbeliever somewhere by track, by the preaching of the preacher, that hears the gospel and says, I need Jesus. Maybe it'll be in church in just seconds. They'll come down the aisle and they'll say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. At that moment, they've come out. And at that moment, judgment's going to hit and this world's going to come down. Isn't that wonderful to think that just right before it happens, just seconds right, just like that, they're going to come out of the world and it's going to come down. It's even sadder to think that just seconds before Jesus comes and judgment hits, there's going to be someone that knows the truth. Some young person, older person, mom and dad, that's going to say, well, I really don't believe that anymore. It's really not necessary. I don't need Jesus. And just seconds before it happens, they're going to be entering in to the world. I just want to ask a simple question. Knowing that judgment's coming in 1 hour, knowing that Jesus is coming, do you want to be headed out of the city? Or do you want to be headed into the city? How many wants to be headed out? It's in this context. Amen. That I want to remind us of something just happened a week or two ago. Did I give you a picture of it, Brother Dirt? How many remembers this? The construction worker. How remembers this? You watched it. He's on the ledge, or he had dropped to a ledge. He's there waiting. The fireman on the ladder, the one that works the controls, he's really the one that needs the credit, but the one works the controls of that ladder moved over there. And that fireman reached out, and the construction worker jumped to that ladder and began to pull away. And immediately as they began to pull away from that building, it fell in. Can't you thank Brother Vin? He said, I'm so glad I just got out before it came down. I just got out before it came down. Hallelujah. I feel like even in this service, the Holy Spirit has moved a big, long ladder out. And I take no claim, but he sent me to the end of that ladder with this message. And he's reaching out and saying, it's going to come down in 1 hour. Won't you come out before it falls? How many feels like the Holy Spirit's doing that, the Word of God? I tell you, it's time to come out. You've been enticed. You've been tempted by this world. It's a facade. It's fake. It's not real. It's all going to fall down. Oh, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Would you stand across the building? Hallelujah. Saints, would you lift your hearts and hands? Let's pray right now that God would do something eternal in this place. Paul said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Why did Paul say it? Brother Richie, he felt the same urgency I feel this morning. Paul's saying, come out, for it comes down. Maybe you're not all the way in the world this morning. Maybe you're just poised to walk over the threshold, leave church, leave the things of God, step into a life of worldly living. I don't know where you're at. All I'm asking this morning, this altar call, if you feel any urgency in your heart, I want to come out before it comes down. I want you to begin to fill these altars right now, would you? Any urgency at all, any of the Holy Spirit touching you, speaking to you, come on, don't hesitate. These are eternal things. When it happens in 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour, one day, it's going to happen. Amen. Amen. Anybody, you feel an urgency, you say, I want to come out before it comes down. Are you here? Would you just begin to fill these altars? I want to come out before it comes down. Would you listen to the voice of the Lord? Saints, let's pray all across this building. Amen. You listen to the urgency of the Lord. I want to come out before it comes down. Are there others that feel that urgency? You feel that urgency of heart. I want to come out. I know, young people, that world is built itself to be so attractive. The riches are there. The pleasures are there. I know that. But the scripture is true. It's coming down. You don't have to be in it when it comes down. Amen. You can have come out. Are there others that join these? You just feel an urgency of the Holy Spirit. I want to come out before it comes down. Amen. Maybe the urgency is I want to stay out because I know it's coming down. I want to stay out. I've been tempted. It's been there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Young people, any of you feel that urgency this morning? Take it as the Lord. Take it as the Holy Spirit putting out that ladder. Amen. To the burning ledge. Hallelujah. I want to come out before it comes down. Oh, hallelujah. God, stir our hearts. Hallelujah. Pass out them tracks. Hey, I said pass out them tracks. Somebody is going to be coming out right before it comes down. Hallelujah. And purpose in your heart. I'm going to live ready. I'm going to live separate from this world. I'm going to come out of it totally, completely, holy. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let's seek him, church, in these altars. Hallelujah. Let's seek him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just preaching what's there. Chapter 18 of Revelation. There it is. There it is. Chapter 18 of Revelation. Come out before it comes. That wasn't my plea. That wasn't my invitation this morning. That was the plea from heaven. That was the call from heaven. Amen. It's written right there in the chapter. Come out because she's coming down. Come out because she's coming down. Hallelujah. Oh, let's seek him in these altars this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, let's seek him. Let's seek him. Hallelujah. Let's seek him. seek him this morning. Let's seek him this morning. Oh, there's a group of people getting ready to leave. There's a group of people getting ready to leave. There's a group of people getting ready to leave. I don't want anything of this world on me. I want to be free. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let's seek him this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
While there's still time,
he's sending out that ladder.
Make up your mind. You can't be happy living on the borderline. If you only knew.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. God is here to do an eternal work. Oh, he's here. I'm grateful for his presence. Let him do an eternal work in your heart. Oh, while there's still time, come out before it comes down.
Tomorrow,
come out before it comes down.
There's no guarantee.
Be happy living on the
while there